dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. In that war, one of the great intelligence briefers and, well, for that matter, practitioners, is my colleague, Claire Lopez, our Vice President for Research and Analysis at the Center for Security Policy. She comes to this business with a great expertise in tradecraft, having been a covert officer in the Central Intelligence Agency, a clandestine services officer in the Office of the Directorate of Operations in the Central Intelligence Agency for some 20 years. And it's always a delight to have her with us. Claire Lopez, welcome back.
Thank you, Frank. I'm glad to be with you.
I want to talk to you about a phenomenon that I'm horrified at, as I think all Americans, when they learn of it, are most especially horrified at what it is involving for children and children in America as well. Talk, Claire, a little bit about the latest revelations out of Michigan about the practice of female genital mutilation.
Yes, this is an especially horrifying story, Frank. We long have suspected, as has the Centers for Disease Control, in fact, with recent reporting, suspected and was concerned about the prevalence of female genital mutilation, or FGM, in the United States. And this would be particularly among immigrant populations of Muslims coming from certain places where FGM is practiced. So what happened in the Detroit area just a short time ago, is that a doctor named Jumana Nagarwala was arrested. And since then, also the director of the clinic and his wife, where she practiced, were also arrested on charges of performing not just female genital mutilation, but transportation. In other words, interstate transport of minors for the intent of performing this criminal, outrageous act against little girls.
I don't want to get too graphic about this, Claire, but tell us what is involved and on whom it is being apparently inflicted.
Well, in this case, they are making the accusation that two seven-year-old girls who were transported from Minneapolis, or at least from Minnesota, I should say, brought in to Detroit were the ones that were subjected to this procedure, which involves essentially genital mutilation, cutting of female genitals with greater or lesser severity, depending, and we don't know in this case particularly. But the problem is that FGM is explicitly either obligated or condoned or at the minimum simply approved in Islamic law, both Shiite and Sunni sects. This woman, this female doctor, Nagarwala, belongs to a sect, a subsect of Indian-based Shiite Muslims who has come to the United States. That sect is called the Dawoodi Bohra Shia Muslims. And in that sect of Shiite Islam, it is obligatory, as we know, under Sunni law, as described in The Reliance of the Traveler or the Umdat al-Salik, it is likewise either obligatory, condoned, or approved on the Sunni side.
Yeah, this is, of course, the reference text that has for many, many hundreds of years been regarded as authoritative within Islam. Claire, let me ask you about the legal status of this practice in the United States. I understand it is a felony offense at the federal level, though the penalty is relatively light. States have also, across the country, prohibited, but not all of them. Can you describe what's involved from a criminal point of view?
That's right. Well, just as you say, Frank, at the federal level, since 1996, FGM has been a federal crime, a felony. As you say, perhaps not with a severe enough punishment. I think it's 5 years upon conviction in each case. Now, this doctor, by the way, in Detroit area, the Detroit area, may have been at this for a dozen years. But as you say, also at the state level, there are only, I think it is 24 states that individually have outlawed FGM, while the remaining 26 have not. And in one way, it seems that this might be why the girls in this particular case were transported from Minnesota, which is one of the states individually where FGM is not criminal, to Michigan, vice versa, I'm sorry, from Minnesota where it is a criminal offense to Michigan where it so far is not at the state level. Nevertheless, it's a federal crime, and the doctor and the clinic management are being charged under the federal statute.
Well, and I'm afraid, Claire, that this is the tip of the iceberg. And one of the things you've pointed out is that because these girls typically in the non-assimilated societies in which many of them are now living are treated only by medical doctors who are Muslims, the rest of the medical community may not see them. They may not have any idea. Claire, you are also, among other things, an expert on Iran. And I wanted to ask you quickly for an update on the latest kerfuffle we had last week. Some personnel changes were being told are being made in the Trump administration following a bit of a contretemps, shall we say. Talk about that, what happened last week, and most especially, what we've learned recently about why it doesn't matter whether the Iranians are nominally complying with the Iran deal or not.
Well, as you know, and thanks to the center, a lot of work has been published, including my own paper about the Iran lobby, the influence operation conducted by the Tehran regime inside of the U.S. government, be it a Republican or a Democratic administration. And the lead, if you will, group that conducts that kind of influence operation, calling itself, in fact, in the Iranian media, in the press, the Iran lobby, has been active certainly since the beginning of the Obama administration, but probably dating back before that as well. So that had been affiliated is the National Iranian American Council, or NIAC, led by Trita Parsi, founded and led by him, as you said. And one of the people who had been an intern with NIAC some time back later was assigned during the Obama years to the National Security Council. Her name is Sahar Nouruzadeh, a career government official. Then more recently, she had been transferred over to the State Department's policy planning staff, which is a rather senior position there. But because of pressure public opposition to this kind of influence, especially as regarded the passage or the agreement to the Iran nuclear weapons deal, known as the JCPOA, Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, from July 2015, she, Nouruzadeh, was moved from the State Department's policy planning staff, but to where? To the Office of Iranian Affairs. So I'm not sure that's a whole lot better, but we do see very recently, just last week, that Secretary of State Tillerson, who agreed, does not yet have a full staff working there for him, his own appointments or the Trump administration's own appointments at State Department, but announcing that Iran was in full compliance with that 2015 nuclear deal called the JCPOA, which nothing could be further from the truth, of course.
or that it would matter if they were, because they are pursuing, as you've documented, as has the National Council for Resistance in Iran, the extent to which the nuclear program, if Iran is moving forward inexorably, notwithstanding or perhaps aided and abetted by the deal. Claire, this is a subject we will return to with you very soon. Thank you so much for your time today and the terrific work you do. In the meantime, we will speak a little bit more about this female genital mutilation business and what it suggests about the state of, Western civilization with Diana West, straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.